Message of Sunday, 3rd July. The speaker today was Guy Delarbe, and the title of the message is Looking for Peacemakers. Today I refer to the reading proposed in the 2022 Bible reading calendar. It's a calendar called The Bible in 6 Years. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 20, but I add the preceding verses, Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62, which forms a sort of introduction. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we read, "When the time drew near for Jesus to be taken out of this world, he made a firm decision to go to Jerusalem. He sent some messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered into a village in Samaria to prepare lodgings for him. But the Samaritans refused him hospitality because he was going to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they cried out, 'Lord, do you want us to command lightning to fall on these people from heaven and burn them to the ground?' But Jesus turned to them and rebuked them. 'You do not know what spirit inspires you with such thoughts. The Son of Man did not come to kill people, but to save them.' They then went to another village. While they were on the road, a man came and said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus said to him, 'The foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place of his own to rest.' Jesus said to another, 'Follow me.' But the man said to him, 'Lord, let me go and bury my father first.' Jesus said to him, 'Leave it to the dead to bury their dead, but go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Another said to him, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say goodbye to my family.' Jesus said to him, 'Whoever looks back when he starts ploughing with his plough is not ready for the kingdom of God.'" Luke chapter 10, verse 1, we read, "After this, the Lord chose 72 more disciples and sent them two by two to go before him into all the towns and places where he was to go. He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Ask the Lord, therefore, whose harvest it is, to send out labourers to bring it in. Go, I will send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Do not carry a purse with money or bags or sandals, and do not linger on the road to greet people. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace be upon this house." If a man of peace lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house and take whatever food and drink they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house asking for hospitality. In every town where you go and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell the people the kingdom of God is near you. But in every town where you enter and they do not want to receive you, go into the marketplace and say, "The dust of your city which has clung to our feet we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you that on the great day Sodom will be treated less harshly than that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles which have taken place among you had taken place in Tyre and Sidon, their lives would have changed long ago, and they would have shown it by putting on sackcloth and covering themselves with ashes. Therefore, on the day of judgment, these cities will be treated less harshly than you. But do you think that you, Capernaum, will be raised to heaven? No, you will be cast down to Hades." He added, "If anyone hears you, he hears me. If anyone rejects you, he rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." When the 72 disciples returned, they were full of joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us when we give them orders in your name." "Yes," he answered, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. Listen to this, I have indeed given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and to crush all the forces of the enemy, so that nothing can harm you. However, you should not be pleased that the evil spirits are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven, and we trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. With this text, we hear both the will of God through Jesus to put in place the laws that govern the kingdom of God, and the obstacles to this message that come from the state of mind of the people and the cities, as well as from the disciples themselves. Jesus is now aware of the heavy task ahead of him. He goes resolutely, word for word. He hardens his face, and Jesus sends messengers, and then 72 more disciples in chapter 10, verse 1. Luke is the only evangelist to mention the sending of 72 or 70 disciples, depending on the type of manuscript we consider. He has already indicated the sending of the 12 at the beginning of chapter 9 with almost the same recommendations. He has also indicated messengers in the text we have read, and finally, he lingers on the sending of this new team of 70 or 72 disciples. Without dwelling too much on the subject, it is good to remember that Luke is a Greek, a companion of Paul, sensitive to the gospel spread in the Mediterranean basin, and who therefore may have retained events that marked him more than the other evangelists. And in particular, the sending of 70 or 72, which can refer either to the 70 nations listed in Genesis 10 and which can be given new life following the flood, or to the 70 or 72 men that Moses chose to accompany him in his task of leading the people, Exodus 24 and Numbers 11. However, Luke emphasises the need to be well equipped to speak of God's grace. It is indeed a matter of preparing for the arrival of Jesus in chapter 9, verse 52, and chapter 10, verse 1, leading to the point that the kingdom of God is near. But it is clear that the ground is covered. Samaritans are not hospitable. This is an old story between Jews and Samaritans dating back to the return from exile, where Samaritans allowed themselves choices and ways of living that traditional Jews abhorred. The disciples are likely to encounter inhospitality and failures in their eyes. Jesus warns them they will be like lambs among wolves, and the testimony given to us by Luke is not glorious. The disciples are easily angered by wanting to bring down fire from heaven on people who do not agree with their ideas. Verse 55, but Jesus, turning to them, rebuked them severely. You do not know what spirit inspires you with such thoughts. And finally, exemplary cities in Galilee, because of the blessings they had received, seem to be exposed to God's judgment because of their blindness. Nevertheless, Jesus exhorts them to keep a cool head. Their message must always be the same, to speak of peace, to announce that the kingdom of God is near, not to believe themselves defeated, and not to be discouraged too easily, and to keep the vision of an abundant harvest, so much so that the workers already present will not be enough. Luke then makes a point of reporting extraordinary events linked to the victories achieved by the disciples in the places where they went. Jesus then invites the disciples to realise that the evil powers are shaken by the message and the actions accomplished. Satan falls from heaven. Let's hear these speeches and testimonies in turn. Let us keep in mind not thoughts of judgment and intolerance, but thoughts, then words and deeds of peace, and underpinned by the values of God's kingdom. Let us not be too quick to be impressed by the surrounding anxiety, provoking or hostile world. Let us believe that today there are abundant harvests that require additional workers. Let us not be satisfied with the workers already present, or beware of acting under the guise of God's sovereignty. Certainly God is sovereign, but workers are needed, what I would call triggers of grace. And above all, we have a background that the disciples themselves did not have. We have knowledge of events that the disciples themselves were unaware of when they were sent out on their mission. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He died there. He is even resurrected. He even went to heaven. He sits with full authority over the powers of heaven. He prays for us and wants to be our advocate before the Heavenly Father. Satan no longer has the same authority he had in the past. These are spiritual realities which should be all the more familiar to us. With these warnings, however, which may be similar to what Jesus says about certain towns, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. Knowledge is not enough. The cities mentioned can lose sight of the salvation that was freely offered to them for lack of faith. We too must be beware of this. What impact does the word of God really have on our lives? Jesus will also make sure that his disciples do not go astray when he says that what is important is that their names are written in heaven. They were happy to have been able to participate in deliverances, but the temptation is to make a name for yourself on earth. Jesus will speak elsewhere of being servants, but useless servants, servants who do their duty without seeking fame. Let us hear this reflection that Jesus imposes on the disciples. Even today in all nations there are harvests, harvests of lives, hearts ready to open to the gospel, hearts waiting for workers, for triggers, a time that is short like the time of a harvest. So these harvests need workers, and Jesus urges us to pray for this, not to feel beaten before we have thought. The places to go are sometimes hostile, yet it is there that lives are enslaved and trapped. And even if it is there that the enemy has captured lives or seems to dominate them in multiple forms, it is precisely there that one must go. The message is then made up of words and actions that manifest the peace of God, the shalom, which is not just a quick hello but an encouragement. Hope in the one who is king and the one who rules a kingdom that is not of this world and whose values and laws can already have an effect. Yes, the message is to say that there is no futility and that the kingdom of God is near. So let us have boldness and confidence in hostile places, in the absence of peace, in the absence of shalom, even in the difficult situations we may go through which do not bring us peace. However, I would like to add here that the most important condition for entering this mission field is to be renewed in our thinking, because our intelligence and our initial energy will soon be exceeded. Much has been said recently about the Holy Spirit descending at Pentecost, enabling the disciples to carry out the expected missions. The text that has been read also speaks of spirits, but of evil spirits being subdued, and the disciples sent out may have called these spirits demonic in verse 17. An immediate lesson is that Jesus in coming wants what drives a person not to be evil. Bad thoughts about someone are earthly, being too self-centred or self-seeking, but good and heavenly instead of an evil spirit. There is the Holy Spirit, the spirit apart, different from other spirits. Yes, it is the Holy Spirit that must rule our lives, and especially when it comes to fulfilling a mission in Jesus' name. As Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2, be renewed in your mind. Our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit should lead us to discern that the work is great, that it is perhaps a time of harvest. When Jesus speaks to the disciples, it is a time of harvest. That there are not yet enough labourers to bring it in, that it may well be a very difficult task, knowing that we are vulnerable in a hostile context, lambs in the midst of wolves, verse 3, but that, nevertheless, God's grace must be preached, and that this is urgent, in verse 4, do not linger on the way to greet people. On a more personal level, our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit should also be not to resist the message of peace and deliverance that Jesus is sending us. The cities mentioned are taken as witnesses to tell us to watch out. The natural thing comes back at a gallop, they say. Well, let us receive this peace of renewal. Nowadays, let us hear this message of peace. we live by the liberation he gives us in Jesus Christ. Let the Spirit of God rule over our thoughts in order to do his will. His will which is called to be exercised in hostile and arid places, in hearts which are today hostile and arid. Let us live by the peace of God in order to announce the peace of God. Let us emphasize and not be ashamed to say that the kingdom of God is near in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 13, but now, through your union with Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have become close through the sacrifice of Christ. In verse 14 of Ephesians 2, for we owe him our peace. We owe him our peace. Many thirst for this peace without knowing it. Let us spread this peace. Let us be ready to enter into the harvest. Amen.